You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the last Sunday after the Epiphany, February 7th, 2016, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
About 8 days after Peter had acknowledged Jesus as the Christ of God, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountaintop to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw the glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of anything that they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
One of the many reasons I love living where we do is that we're surrounded by mountains. When I first moved here on one particularly bright September day, I ran into Margaret Charlton, who said, "Oh, look, we're having a four mountain day." I didn't know what she was talking about until she pointed it out to me, but she was right. It was really awesome to see the Cascades to the east, the Olympics to the west, snow-capped Rainier to the south, and snow-covered Mount Baker to the north. Awesome. Now, awesome is a word I think we overuse sometimes, but when it comes to mountains, awesome is just right. I grew up in the mountains in West Virginia, so mountains have always been important to me. Hiking in the mountains or skiing in the mountains, I feel so close to the beauty of this world that God's created for us to live in. When I'm in the mountains, I feel a little closer to the story that God is writing in the world and the story that God is writing in my own life. A lot of interesting things happen in mountains on the Bible. When Moses was a young man, he was peacefully herding his sheep one day and led them up a mountain, looking for more pasture. All of a sudden, a bush burst into flames and an angel appeared out of the bush. And if that wasn't amazing enough, when Moses looked at the bush, he saw that it wasn't burning up, even though it was on fire. He couldn't believe his eyes, so he turned away. And then he heard a voice speaking to him out of the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," says Moses. "Don't come near me," the voice says. "Take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. It was too awesome. And Elijah met God on the same mountain that Moses did, although it was a few hundred years later. And there was a great wind that rose up, but God wasn't in the wind. And then an earthquake happened, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, Elijah heard a still, small voice. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And it was the voice of God. Awesome. This morning we meet Peter, James, and John as they go with Jesus up another high mountain. And something awesome happens. Jesus changes right in front of them. His clothes become shiny white. Then out of nowhere, Moses and Elijah show up and begin to have a conversation with Jesus. And Peter's afraid. It's too awesome. Then a cloud appeared and put them all in a shadow, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Now, I've read this story of the Transfiguration more times than I can count, and I've preached on it more than once. I've always focused on what happens on the mountaintop, that magnificent, glorious experience that connects Jesus back to his baptism and reveals his glory to his friends. Or I've focused on what happens afterwards. You know, you can't stay on the mountaintop. You can't live forever in that ecstatic experience. You got to come back down off the mountaintop, back into the real world, like Jesus does, setting his face towards Jerusalem. But as I was reading the story yet again this week, it occurred to me for the first time that Jesus and Peter and James and John had to get up the mountain. I presume it wasn't a tiny hill, but a real mountain, which means they had to hike, and which means they had to climb. And that's hard work. Hiking up the mountain to meet God in that awesome place took a lot of effort. Now, as I mentioned, I do love to hike in the mountains. And, you know, it's interesting that for all the stories about the awesome things that happen on mountaintops in the Bible, we never hear anything about climbing the mountain. And I wonder why. I mean, I've hiked up lots of mountains, and there's more to it than the texts let on. Those mountains and mountaintops are often understood as metaphors for the human encounter with God, and I think that's right. And I think it's the case, the climb up the mountain is also a pretty good metaphor for how we human beings approach God. You know, when you begin a hike, you start out fresh and eager, and everything around you looks just beautiful and wonderful. But pretty soon, the climb gets steeper. You discover your body has limits, and you know what? So does your soul. Body and soul need to be challenged and stretched and strengthened for the journey to continue. When we're young, our lives might seem most of the time like the beginning of that hike. We're fresh, we're excited, the scenery's beautiful, and the ground isn't, well, it's not too steep. There aren't any tree roots to trip us up, and there are no rushing streams to ford. But as we get older, the path gets more complex. The slope gets steeper, and the slope gets rockier. The hike gets more strenuous. The hike becomes filled with danger and with unexpected dead ends. There are times on hikes like this where reaching our destination isn't as big an issue as survival. As we get older still, the climb is so exhausting, sometimes we just want to quit. We might find it easy to ignore God at the beginning of the hike when we're fresh and everything is beautiful and everything is possible. It's when the path gets steep and treacherous that we're more likely in our anxiety and in our fear to cry out for God. Finally, in those times when we do reach the top of the mountain, when we come to the end, or at least come to a resting place in that long and difficult journey, it's then that we might catch a glimpse of grace and maybe even catch a glimpse of God's glory, a place where we might know deep gratitude. I had a hike like that last summer, the hike up to Oyster Dome in Whatcom County. begins gently in beautiful canopied forest, and I was excited to start. Switchbacks took me up to a lovely plateau where I stopped for some water and an energy bar and to congratulate myself on what a good idea I'd had to come on this hike. Setting off from the plateau, I soon found, though, that switchbacks were a thing of the past. Switchbacks, it seems, are for sissies. We were now heading straight up, and I do mean straight up. The path got steeper and rockier until finally I was scrambling over boulders the size of Volkswagens with only the occasional orange mark to tell me I might be headed in the right direction. I'd see a break in the tree canopy and think, oh great, the crest must be close. But no, that turned out to be an illusion. More rocks to climb. More Volkswagens to climb over. A couple of streams to ford, and I mean ford very, very, very carefully. And then more rocks. As the hike wore on, I began to despair that I'd ever make it to the top. But turning back didn't seem to be an option, so I pressed on, silently cursing myself that I'd gotten into this difficult journey. And then at last, a break in the unrelenting tree canopy, which really did signal the top, I'd arrived at last, Oyster Dome. And there before me lay Samish Bay and the San Juans beyond. It was almost too much to take in. The glittering bay, ships moving through the straits, the profusion of islands, and in the distance, just at the horizon, Victoria. I sat down on a large flat rock, bathed in sunshine on what had been a pretty cool July day, taking it all in. By and by, I put my pack behind my head and lay down, just for a moment, I thought. But in my exhaustion, I nodded off into a little nap. And in that half-awake, dreamlike place, I was really overcome with the sensation of goodness. A sensation of well-being, a sensation that all was right in the world. There was no doubt at all that God was present on that mountaintop. On that mountaintop, I had a glimpse of grace, and maybe even a glimpse of the glory of God. But man, it was sure hard work getting there. And of course, I couldn't stay on the top of Oyster Dome, that particular mountaintop, as wonderful as the experience of God's glory was. It was down the mountain and back into life. Yet back into life with a fresh knowing of God's presence and a fresh knowing of God's grace. And I'm very sure that I wouldn't have had that encounter with the Holy One without the struggle up the mountainside. Without facing despair and fear and exhaustion and pushing through those things and beyond. About 1400 years ago, St. Gregory of Nyssa said, "The knowledge of God is a mountain steep indeed and difficult to climb." The climb is different for each one of us. How long it will take and how much effort it might require, I can't say. Because I'm still climbing. Some days the climb is steep and treacherous and exhausting, and I get shaky and short of breath. Is it worth it, this relentless climb towards God? Yes, yes, it is worth it. It is worth it. So here's my little secret to difficult hiking. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Don't think too much about the outcome. Don't worry about getting there. Don't worry about how far it is to get to the mountaintop. Just take one step at a time. Pretty soon, the tiredness, the exhaustion, the despair, will I ever make it? give way to a kind of peace. One step at a time. Because I've found that beauty and grace and God's glory aren't just on the mountaintop. No, beauty and grace and God's glory are there on the path too. So I'm going to keep hiking. I'm going to keep walking. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.